This morning on WCHL, clarification of plan and cost is needed for Orange County's Southern Branch Library.
If we're not going to build a 20,000 square foot library, then we don't need to fund one.
And your governor remains unpopular, according to the latest numbers.
This is the 10th month in a row now that we found Pat McCrory with a negative approval rating.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together in WCHL Championship Sports. Carolina baseball team took the series over the weekend against Wake Forest, although they were not able to win yesterday. Plus, the UNC football coaches have the offseason now to prepare with what they learned from spring football at Carolina. And
already, instant replay in baseball is ruining the game.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL, 62 degrees in Chapel Hill, and mostly cloudy today. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today about 78 degrees, but rain is on the way for tomorrow and tomorrow night. County commissioners say it may be time to clarify exactly what's planned for the Southern Branch Library and just how much it will cost. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
As Orange County commissioners eyed their five-year spending plan at a work session last week, Chair Barry Jacobs said it's time for the board to vote on the specifics of the Southern Branch Library.
We're talking about $8.25 million, and I don't think that's a realistic number for what we're envisioning as a library. I don't know why we keep using that number.
The current capital investment plan outlines $1.1 million to be spent on planning in the next 2 years and $7,775,000 to build and open the branch by 2017. But Jacobs argued those numbers represent a size and style of library that the board has not endorsed.
Some of us kept talking about a 20,000 square foot library. And if we're not going to build a 20,000 square foot library, then we don't need to fund one. And if we have to vote, then we should put it on a regular agenda and vote on whether this Board of Commissioners thinks we're building a 20,000 square foot library. Because it was not driven by this board, it was driven by staff. It's just not realistic.
Currently, county officials are in the process of vetting an 18,000 square foot site in Carborough at the yet to be built Brewer Lane mixed use project. Although this is the only site under consideration, the board has not settled on a location for the branch and is actively soliciting input from the public. County Manager Michael Talbert said the $8 million figure represents a placeholder in the budget that will be revised by the end of the fiscal year.
This is the best number we have at this point. The board has not revisited this issue since it was originally introduced about 3 years ago. We're continuing this in light of not having anything better. By this June, I think we may be in a position to improve on this. If the Carborough location we're currently investigating works out, we can come back to you and adjust these numbers.
Jacob said once the cost projections are revised, that will free up other money in the county spending plan. The board will hear the results of the county's investigation and the public outreach effort at a work session on May 13th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory remains unpopular in the state, according to a new poll released by Public Policy Polling in Raleigh. PPP Director Tom Jensen broke down some of the new numbers.
This is the 10th month in a row now that we found Pat McCrory with a negative approval rating. Only 40% of voters approve of the job he's doing. 45% disapprove.
According to Jensen and Public Policy Polling, McCrory's presumed top challenger for a 2016 race still has some work to do when it comes to building name recognition.
It's already pretty clear that Attorney General Roy Cooper is going to be challenging him for re-election in 2016, and we find the two of them tied at 43%.
Jensen added that Cooper is still unknown to 50% of the voters in the state, but among those who do know him, he polls favorably at 33% positive and 17% unfavorable. Another possible Democratic challenger, former Raleigh Mayor Charles Meeker, is even less recognizable to voters.
Charles Meeker's been traveling around to parts of the state outside the Triangle, having meetings with local Democratic elected officials and that sort of thing to start to build up some visibility as he at least thinks about making a campaign in 2016.
PPP numbers show that McCrory would beat former Raleigh Mayor Meeker 45-38 in a head-to-head race. Right now, Meeker is known only to 28% of North Carolina voters. Two runners have died near the finish line of a half marathon near Raleigh over the weekend. Race organizers said the deaths appear to be from natural causes and were treated near the finish line during the 13-mile race Sunday morning. About 12,000 runners participated in the half marathon and the full marathon near downtown Raleigh. Rock and Roll Marathon Medical Director Dr. P.Z. Pierce says doctors and race organizers spoke with the families of both runners who asked for privacy. He says their prayers go out to them. The names of the runners have not yet been released. Temperatures for the race started in the 60s but moved into the 70s later in the morning. One of the most popular local races is the Tarryall 10-miler and 4-mile run, which takes place next weekend here in Chapel Hill. Organizers of Chapel Hill's race declined to comment this morning, saying they wanted to give it time, but that they would make a public comment on the tragedy and talk about what precautions are taken in their race. Tarryall 10-miler did post this message on its Facebook page once it learned of the two deaths in Raleigh. Quoting here, "We are deeply saddened, and our hearts and prayers go out to the families and friends of the runners that passed away this morning in Raleigh." For the past 6 months, opinion pieces written in a Raleigh newspaper by a University of North Carolina law professor have included the disclaimer, "He doesn't speak for UNC. The disclaimer was added after Gene Nickel wrote a column in the News and Observer back in October that suggested Governor Pat McCrory's support of new election laws in North Carolina made him a 21st century successor to 1960s era segregationist governors in the South. He also called the governor Hapless Pat in the piece. The NNO obtained emails that show the disclaimer came after several high-ranking university officials began discussing the column and how it might affect funding for UNC in a highly politicized atmosphere. An anti-abortion group at Carolina stirred up controversy a few weeks ago when it decided to make its presence known with very graphic signs. This was not the first time a conservative group has seen opposition to its message at the university. Carolina Connection's Daniel Shear gives us a look at how these groups have dealt with criticism.
Earlier this month, the anti-abortion group Carolina Students for Life displayed images in front of Wilson Library that compared abortion to genocides in Cambodia and Nazi Germany. Co-president Julie Asik said the group partnered with the Center for Bioethical Reform to educate the campus community.
We just really wanted to have a big event just to get kind of the campus talking about the issue of abortion and to get the campus to see what actually happens in an abortion so that they'll be fully informed.
The demonstration sparked outrage among many on campus who protested the group's tactics. Asik says it is important for people to remember that free speech is a two-way street.
We totally respect the right of the counter-protesters to protest, like what we were displaying, but it was just like really amazing to us that they would try to get us banned from campus because we have the right to free speech just as much as they do.
Jeremy Hodges is the president of the Tarryall Rifle and Pistol Club. He says he agrees with CSL's message, but thinks they could have spread their message in a way which was less controversial.
So I am pro-life. However, I do not think the tactics that that organization used were beneficial to the debate. I think, at least in my group of friends, which is largely pro-life, we ended up discussing should those images have been there, not the merits of abortion or anything else like that.
But Hodges says he understands the challenges of being a conservative organization on a mostly liberal campus. Hodges said his own organization faced scrutiny last year when Student Congress tried to restrict its funding. Many opposed using student funds for the club's personal ammunition use and target practices.
So last year we did have a discriminatory bill come in front of Student Congress that we did protest. And eventually the bill did get struck down by the student body president at the time. But when we did counter-protest, we had a ton of support from the community, including the Daily Tar Heel, backing us, saying it's not fair to come after one student organization and their funding.
But not all conservatives have been controversial. Former White House Press Secretary Dana Perino, who worked for President George W. Bush, was well received this week on a campus that has traditionally been left of the political center. In addition to Perino, the university has also seen Karl Rove, Herman Cain, and Jeb Bush come to speak without incident. In fact, the last time a politician came to speak and was interrupted was in 2009, when then-Colorado Representative Tom Tancredo was interrupted by violent demonstrators.
It doesn't give you the right to silence its constitutional protection.
Frank Prey, the vice chair of UNC College Republicans, says he agrees it is more difficult for conservative groups to get their message out, but says all you really need to make yourself heard is some passion.
I think that if you're the type of person who needs to sort of be invited to go share your views or is uncomfortable sharing your views in a room with many differing viewpoints, then yes, it is sort of stifling on this campus. But I think if you're the type of person who really doesn't care what other people think, and you will have your views be heard no matter what other people think of those views, then I think that it really isn't a problem.
Differing views on UNC's campus might not always be a problem, but conservative organizations are still fighting an uphill battle. In Chapel Hill, I'm Daniel Scheer.
Daniel Scheer is a reporter with Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication, put together entirely by Carolina students. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the school year. WCHL News Time, 7:17. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening. Organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, and much more at their downtown Carrboro store. Fifth Season. Not your garden variety gardening store. All right, time now to check in with Rand Norton on WCHL and find out what's happening out there on our roadways. Rand?
Yeah, Ron, looks like the roadway is moving smoothly for the most part still. I-40 is moving without any problems, as is the Durham Freeway right now. We do have a bit of a slowdown on 15501 southbound from Garrett Road to I-40. Just the usual morning delays there. No accidents being reported. 15501 elsewhere moving smoothly, as is NC-54. MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street not reporting any accidents or delays right now either. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very well done. Rand Northam keeping an eye on traffic for you all morning long. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. 62 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, mostly cloudy today, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the upper 70s, kind of a mild day. Tonight, cloudy with an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Low tonight around 65. Now tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon. 90% chance of rain all day tomorrow, and the high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, 90% chance of rain continuing with a low in the low 30s, so turning a lot cooler tomorrow night. And then on Wednesday, sunny and a nice day, but the high only about 55, so we're definitely in for a little bit of a change coming up here in the next couple of days.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time, 7:19. News around town this morning, the six candidates for Orange County Sheriff will all come together tomorrow, or I beg your pardon, Wednesday, for a candidates forum hosted by the Orange County Democratic Party. All half dozen declared candidates are Democrats, so the winner of the Democratic primary on May 6th will succeed longtime Sheriff Lenny Pendergrass when he retires at the end of the year. The forum will take place in Meeting Room B of the Chapel Hill Public Library from 6:30 until 7:45 p.m. Members of the public are invited to attend. There will be a meet and greet with the candidates after the forum as well. That is Wednesday night, the Chapel Hill Public Library. All the six candidates for Orange County Sheriff. That's a lot of people running for sheriff. The Durham-based company LC Industries has officially joined forces with Joining Forces, a new UNC system initiative to connect the university with businesses and nonprofits in support of students affiliated with military. LC Industries committed $130,000 to become the program's first industry partner. The company operates in 14 states and works with all branches of the U.S. military. And you're invited to take part in the annual Guardians of the Hill 5K at Southern Village, sponsored by the the Chapel Hill Police Department benefit the North Carolina Children's Hospital. Guardians of the Hill will take place on Saturday, May 31st at 8:30 in the morning. There will be a kids' fun run along with a 5K. Again, that is on May 31st. Early bird registration, $20 per person through April 30th. To register early and save money, to register, visit chpd.us or sportoften.com. We have that contact information on our website as well at chapelboro.com. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. The number 29 North Carolina baseball team earned a 2-1 series win over Wake Forest over the weekend to improve to 21-15 overall, 9-9 in conference play. Tar Heels dominated the Demon Deacons on Friday, but had a tremendous performance on the mound from ace Trent Thornton and held on for a narrow victory on Saturday to lock up the vital conference series. Even though the finale went to Wake Forest yesterday, 6-5, it was a successful weekend for Carolina as the offense gained some much-needed traction. The bats got busy, and Carolina won 2 out of 3. Michael Russell came up a few feet shy of a game-winning home run in the 9th inning for the Tar Heels on Sunday. Next up for the Tar Heels, a duel at the DBAP on Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow night. Carolina will take on North Carolina State at Durham Bulls Athletic Park in downtown Durham. This morning at about 8:20, we'll be talking with Bobby Hungley of UNC Athletics about this Carolina baseball team, the progress it's made. A lot of excitement over the weekend because of the spring football game. Spring football is now in the books, and now the coaching staff and players have the offseason to think about what was learned. A lot of folks came out on Saturday for a beautiful day and an exciting spring football game. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on what happened.
Whatever it takes to help the team. I mean, I would like to get on the field any way possible, whether have me in at quarterback or if I have to block, whatever it is. I mean, I just want to help the Tar Heels this season, and if it comes down to splitting time, we'll see how it goes. Whatever helps the team win.
That was redshirt freshman quarterback Mitch Trubisky on his desire to help the Tar Heels win in 2014. The blue team on Saturday consisted primarily of the projected starters this fall, but quarterback Marquise Williams split the signal caller duties with Trubisky. Both men staked their claim for the starting job. Williams says he was pleased with the way he was feeling out on the field.
It felt good throwing the ball today. It felt real good outside and felt a little velocity on the ball and get my hips through. So, I mean, I felt real good out there today with the guys.
Williams completed 22 out of his 32 passes for 135 yards, while Trubisky went 20 for 32 for 183 yards. Neither quarterback threw a touchdown pass, but wide receiver Quinshaw Davis sure did. He flung a touchdown to fellow wideout T.J. Thorpe to thrill the crowd. Running back T.J. Loken scampered across the end zone for a pair of touchdowns, while young Elijah Hood impressed with some grinding plays of his own. Better known for his abilities as a return man, Ryan Switzer says he's been working on improving his game as a receiver for the upcoming season.
I really wanted to come in and, you know, perfect my route running. You know, it wasn't all that bad last year, but, you know, there were some things where, you know, I was short on a couple routes and I wasn't crisp coming out of all my breaks. So I was able to fine tune those things, and, you know, I think I'm a better player for it, and I'm looking forward to showing it off during the season.
But the story of the day just might have been the impressive play of the defense, keeping the Tar Heel offense in check and under pressure with aggressive penetration into the backfield. Junior Justin Thomason recorded 5 tackles and 2 sacks at the defensive end position. All in all, head coach Larry Fedora says the game served its purpose, with Tar Heels on both sides of the ball making plays. As for the quarterback situation, Switzer says he's confident in the skills of both Williams and Trubisky, and is looking forward to hauling in passes from whomever grabs the starting spot.
You know, Quis and Mitch both bring, you know, different things to the table, and a lot of people say Quis has the experience over Mitch, which he does, but, you know, Mitch has been so cool in the pocket, you know, in all of our scrimmages, and I know there's a difference between game and scrimmage, but, you know, he's been a cool cat, and I'm looking forward to catching balls from both of them, you know, and, you know, the coaches are going to pick the right guy, and that guy's going to do a great job for us.
With the quarterback position seemingly still up for grabs, there's plenty of questions heading into the summer lead-up to the fall season that promises to be an exciting one for Carolina football. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
And you might be interested to know that there is the first ever Larry Fedora Golf Tournament coming up on April 21st to raise money for the programs of Volunteers for Youth, directly benefiting local at-risk children. And we'll be talking with Tim Hucks about all of that coming up next hour here on WCHO. WCHL, the Larry Fedora Golf Tournament. That's going to be kind of exciting. Eric Staal scored twice in regulation and had the only goal in the shootout to lead the Carolina Hurricanes to a 6-5 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers in regular season finale on Sunday. Jeff Skinner added a pair of goals for the Canes, who finished the season in 7th place in the Metropolitan Division, outside of the playoff picture. Of course, a lot of disappointment this season. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Already, instant replay in baseball is ruining the game. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. There is a reason that instant replay works in pro football and other sports. Judgment calls are left out of the equation. In football, pass interference is not reviewable. Holding is not reviewable. In basketball, fouls are not reviewable. Only whether a pass hit the ground, a player stepped on the sideline, who touched the ball last before it went out of bounds, or whether the puck really crossed the goal line. And even in those cases, there has to be indisputable video evidence to overturn the official's calls. In baseball, quite obviously, the umps have been given too much discretion to interfere with the human element. Before this season, replay could determine whether a home run really cleared the wall in the outfield, or the line separating the playing field from the spectators. In most cases, using slow motion, the umps generally got those calls correct. Replays are useful in determining if a ball was caught or trapped, or whether it nicked the chalk along the foul lines, or even if a pitch ball grazed a batter's uniform or missed it completely, or which player threw a punch in a melee. But replays should not be able to overturn a judgment call in baseball, the bang-bang play at a base or home plate. Those calls have always been made by the umpires, and sometimes they were missed, leading to arguments on the field and ejections of players and managers. Part of the game. If it was clear to everyone watching in person and on television that an ump blew a call, then yes, replay could reverse it. When first base umpire Jim Joyce so badly blew a call that it cost Armando Galarraga a perfect game, yes, make that mistake right. But twice in the Red Sox-Yankees series over the weekend, judgment calls were reviewed and both turned out to be an abuse of the new system. One play clearly looked like a player's foot had come off the bag while the tag was being applied, and that call of safe was upheld. The next night, a bang-bang play at first base was literally too close to call, but the umps reversed it, and New York was awarded what turned out to be the winning run. It's a new system, and most of the applications are good for the game. But like pass interference cannot be overturned in football, or whether it was a block or a charge in basketball, the split-second judgment call should be left in the hands of the umpires, right or wrong, like it's always been. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Bill Cederberg. I'm the owner of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions in Chapel Hill since 1986. We do full-scale remodeling, specializing in kitchens and baths, small additions, anything that is related to remodeling of an existing residence.
You do all kinds of additions, don't you?
I've added third stories to existing houses. I've dug out basements. I've done some suite type of additions where you have maybe a master suite with a bathroom and a large bedroom and maybe a sitting area. We've done a lot of different things, and we've done a lot of real simple things. Building a small porch on the front of the house or changing the facade, closet, reworks, a variety of things.
Do you do porches and decks and patios and that sort of thing?
We've done a lot of patios with decks and or hard surfaces. Sometimes we'll bring in a landscaper, or maybe a landscaper has brought us in. But in Chapel Hill, one of the most popular things we do is cover decks and make them screen porches so that you can get a little more use out of that deck, enjoy the summer months a little more, really extend the seasons, maybe making that space maybe a 8 to 9 month space as opposed to 4 or 5. And from time to time, we'll take that space and make it into what would more commonly be called a Florida room. Go to our website at cederbergkitchens.com. You'll see examples of our work and some testimonials and products.
This has been the professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Hi, this is Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson with Tony Hall & Associates, the power of two of Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
The real estate market is blooming like our spring flowers, and it's a great time to buy or sell a home.
For sellers, we can provide a detailed market analysis to determine value, and for buyers, we can show you the newest listings.
If you have questions about the real estate market, call us, Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson, and put the power of two to work for you. At Tony Hall & Associates, We don't just list houses, we sell them.
7:30 at WCHL with 62 degrees in Chapel Hill. And this forecast is brought to you by Sturdivant's Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. Visit 942tire.com or you can give them a call at 942-TIRE. Sturdivant's Tire Pros. It's 62, as I mentioned, mostly cloudy today, 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms later on in the day. Our high temperature today, about 78 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, and it'll turn cloudier as the night wears on, an 80% chance for showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight around 65, and then tomorrow, a 90% chance of rain all day tomorrow.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. A grandfather and grandson were shot dead in a parking lot at a Jewish center in Overland Park, Kansas.
And I knew immediately that they were in heaven.
Wendy Corcoran lost her father and son in a shooting attack yesterday. A woman was also killed at a retirement home in Overland Park. Correspondent Dean Reynolds.
We're told none of the victims was Jewish, but because of the location of the shooting, which came on the eve of a major Jewish holiday, it's possible authorities might pursue hate crime charges.
Police took a man into custody.
Just after his arrest, the man identified as former KKK leader Frazier Glenn Miller could be heard yelling what sounded like Heil Hitler.
A Senate candidate back in 2011, Miller once told Fox News,
I had two main objectives. Number one, to free white people from Jewish bondage. And two, to save the white race from extinction.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
63 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's a cloudy day, 30% chance of rain later on in the day. 7:32, I'm Ron Stutz. County commissioners say it might be time to clarify exactly what's planned for the Southern Branch Library and just how much money it will cost. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
As Orange County commissioners eyed their five-year spending plan at a work session last week, Chair Barry Jacobs said it's time for the board to vote on the specifics of the Southern Branch Library.
We're talking about $8.25 million, and I don't think that's a realistic number for what we're envisioning as a library. I don't know why we keep using that number.
The current capital investment plan outlines $1.1 million to be spent on planning in the next 2 years and $7,775,000 to build and open the branch by 2017. But Jacobs argued those numbers represent a size and style of library that the board has not endorsed.
Some of us kept talking about a 20,000 square foot library. And if we're not going to build a 20,000 square foot library, then we don't need to fund one. And if we have to vote, then we should put it on a regular agenda and vote on whether this Board of Commissioners thinks we're building a 20,000 square foot library. Because it was not driven by this board, it was driven by staff. It's just not realistic.
Currently, county officials are in the process of vetting an 18,000 square foot site in Carborough at the yet to be built Brewer Lane mixed use project. Although this is the only site under consideration, the board has not settled on a location for the branch and is actively soliciting input from the public. County Manager Michael Talbert said the $8 million figure represents a placeholder in the budget that will be revised by the end of the fiscal year.
This is the best number we have at this point. The board has not revisited this issue since it was originally introduced about 3 years ago. We're continuing this in light of not having anything better. By this June, I think we may be in a position to improve on this. If the Carborough location we're currently investigating works out, we can come back to you and adjust these numbers.
Jacob said once the cost projections are revised, that will free up other money in the county spending plan. The board will hear the results of the county's investigation and the public outreach effort at a work session on May 13th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory remains unpopular in the state, according to a new poll just out from Public Policy Polling. Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen broke down some of these new numbers.
This is the 10th month in a row now that we found Pat McCrory with a negative approval rating. Only 40% of voters approve of the job he's doing, 45% disapprove.
According to Jensen and PPP of Raleigh, McCrory's presumed top challenger for a 2016 race still has some work to do. when it comes to building name recognition.
It's already pretty clear that Attorney General Roy Cooper is going to be challenging him for re-election in 2016, and we find the two of them tied at 43%.
Jensen added that Cooper is still unknown to 50% of the voters in the state, but among those who do know him, he polls favorably at 33% positive and 17% unfavorable. Another possible Democratic challenger, former Raleigh Mayor Charles Meeker, is even less recognizable to voters.
Charles Meeker's been traveling around to parts of the state outside the Triangle, having meetings with local Democratic elected officials and that sort of thing to start to build up some visibility as he at least thinks about making a campaign in 2016.
Public policy polling numbers show that Governor McCrory would beat former Raleigh Mayor Meeker 45-38 in a head-to-head race. Right now, Meeker's known only to about 28% of North Carolina voters. For the past 6 months, opinion pieces written in a Raleigh newspaper by a University of North Carolina law professor have included the disclaimer, quoting here, "He doesn't speak for UNC," unquote. The disclaimer was added after Gene Nickel wrote a column in the News and Observer back in October that suggested Governor McCrory's support of new election laws in North Carolina made him a 21st century successor to 1960s era segregationist governors in the South. He also called the governor hapless Pat in that piece. The NNO obtained emails that show the disclaimer came after several high-ranking university officials began discussing the column and how it might affect funding from the legislature for UNC in a highly politicized atmosphere. Two runners died near the finish line of a half marathon in Raleigh yesterday. Race organizers said the deaths appear to be from natural causes and were treated near the finish line during the 13-mile race on Sunday morning. About 12,000 runners were there participating in the half marathon and the full marathon near downtown Raleigh. Rock and Roll Marathon Medical Director Dr. P.Z. Pierce says doctors and race organizers spoke with the families of both runners who asked for privacy. He says their prayers go out to those families. The names of the runners have not yet been released. Temperatures for the race yesterday, in case you're wondering, starting in the 60s, but they moved into the 70s later on in the morning. One of the most popular local races is the Tar Heel 10-miler and 4-mile run, which will take place this coming weekend in Chapel Hill. Organizers of Chapel Hill's race declined to comment this morning, saying they wanted to give it time, but that they would make a public comment of the tragedy and talk about what precautions are taken in their race. The Tar Heel 10-miler did post this message on its Facebook page once it learned of the two deaths. We are deeply saddened, and our hearts and prayers go out to the families and friends of the runners that passed away this morning in Raleigh. WCHL News Time is 7:38. This is Ron Stutz, and Rand Northam joins me now in the WCHL studio. And Rand, it's been quite a busy weekend, and a lot of things happened over the weekend, and it's Monday. It feels like Monday, for
it
sure.
It does, yeah.
And unfortunately, it's going to be Monday all day.
That's right, all day long.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about Mondays, but oh boy.
Yeah, well, you're right, though. There was a lot going on this weekend, and just Saturday alone, I was in filling in for Aaron Saturday morning on the morning show because Aaron was out hosting or emceeing the 5K for fitness. That was just one of the many 5Ks that went on. So there was that one.
Yeah.
There was the 5K at Briar Chapel for the Earth Day celebration there. That started early in the morning. I actually went out to a 5K walk, which was on the Bowling Creek Trail, and it was for cystic fibrosis, which Randy's very involved in because she works with pediatric pulmonology at UNC hospitals.
Yeah.
So they were raising money for cystic fibrosis, and it was really neat to meet a lot of the doctors and nurses, and I've met a couple of them before, but to meet them in that setting where they're, you know, out on a beautiful Saturday and really trying to raise money for a group that needs help. I mean, there's many of them out there, but it was nice to meet the doctors and meet the nurses and see what they're doing to try to help many different people. Because I think it's 1 in 30 children are diagnosed with cystic fibrosis or something like that. It's a, you know, it's very, very difficult thing, and it's, you have a very, very short life because of cystic fibrosis. So
I don't know what that number is, but I hope it's not 1 in 30.
Yeah,
wow.
that's seems wrong, but
it
seems to pop out in my head. So, but anyway, it's many children are diagnosed with that and, mm-hmm. and have a short life because of it.
So. You know, one thing that I think about over the weekend, I mean, that was so sad what happened in Raleigh yesterday.
It sure was, yeah.
The race over there is such an anomaly. You hear about all these races, you know, the Tar Heel 10-miler and all the races that you talked about and everything that go on. They all take place and they're great events and it's without incident. Nobody gets sick or dies.
I mean, think of the Boston Marathon.
Rare.
How many run that?
It's just a rare occasion.
Yeah.
And for two people to die in this one event, I mean,
right.
you got to wonder what in the world is going on there. But, you know, we'll get more details after, you know, they find out more about these people. But that is just such a sad, sad thing. And I know that everybody in the running community is, you know, kind of mystified by that. And certainly I hope it doesn't, you know, make people think of that when they think of running.
Sure, yeah.
Or walking.
Right, yeah, know. Definitely.
I mean, my goodness, because that is an anomaly. I mean, no question.
It is, and it was, I mean, it was in the 13-mile race, they said. It was not the marathon runners. It was two people, and you're right, though, just, you know, that it happened twice on that one time.
And the same event. It's just crazy.
I think the number I was looking at for cystic fibrosis, is about 30,000 people in the United States have it.
Oh, yeah,
I
there you go.
Misheard what you said.
Yeah, so that makes more sense.
A little more sense. My apologies on that. But one of the things we do have available on our website right now is the photo gallery from the Briar Chapel Earth Day celebration and mm-hmm. 5K run.
So. And we were out there after the race.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And we actually talked with the winner. His name was Justin something really...
Guarini?
Sturts or something like that. It was really similar to my name. I remember that.
So. Gotcha.
That's funny.
I said Guarini just because American Idol, I don't know if you remember that name. So.
Yeah, sort of vaguely.
The loser to Kelly. Also, we have Kathy Kaufman. She says, solarized Carbaro inspires change. That's in our lifestyle section. Solarized mm-hmm. Carbaro, of course, is the big campaign right now to put a lot of solar panels and solar energy in Carbaro. And in our local Buzz columns, 3D Printing Part 3 is up. It's from Jeff Danner in his Common Science blog, and he has a UNC connection today in mm-hmm. Part 3 of the 3D printing. Lots going on with 3D printing. Just an amazing thing that you can, you know, print something out 3D now. It's so funny. When I was a kid, I used to think that you could print 3D, that anything you wanted, anything that you ordered online, you could print it right out. And it would be yours instantly, but
you know what I think of when I think of 3D. When I was a kid, it's so popular to have these ViewMasters
Is that what those things are called? Yep.
Mm-hmm. And used to look at these pictures that had depth. I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I remember I had a lot of Disney ViewMasters.
Yeah. I think anybody who, you know, grew up back in my era we did that.
Sure.
And then that's something that's lasted for a long time because it really is a cool thing.
Make sure you point it at a light.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't look at it in a dark room.
No, that's true of a lot of things. You look at it in the dark, you're not going to see very much.
Well, yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
We have a new commentator. His name is David Schwartz. And he is not in favor of this whole rezoning that is proposed for the Ephesus Fordham area. And he will tell you why. And that is coming up next.
It's a spring tradition like no other. Birdhouses on parade at the Carolina Inn. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. Spring is the season for birds in the garden, and at the 13th annual Birdhouses on Parade, you'll enjoy seeing one-of-a-kind handcrafted birdhouses and feeders from great names like Silver Palette Feeder, Nest Dwellings, Old South Birdhouse Company, Wellspring Birdhouse Company, and many more. It's all on display now through Sunday at the Carolina Inn. Come see what everyone is cooing, tweeting, and warbling about.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
This is Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, located here in Chapel Hill. Been in business since 1986.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, they're very good at the job they do.
We're a full-service design remodeling company, Ron, and we specialize in turnkey process where our customers usually are looking for sort of a one-stop solution. And we can help them with the design process, resourcing of materials, and
helping them with actually making decisions about what's going to work best for their personal situation, and then the actual production of that work with our own staff, you know, trying to essentially minimize the number of opportunities for, you know, miscommunication or loss of information because you're handing it off to a third party or another party. And so we are ultimately responsible from the beginning of the process to the end of the process.
Remember the name, Bill Cederberg.
People are interested in learning more about us. You can go to our website at cederbergkitchens.com. You'll see examples of our work and some testimonials and products, et cetera, et cetera.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions.
We are located at 630 Weaver Dairy Road in the middle of the Cedar Village Shopping Center here. And you can find us in the phone book at 919-967-1171.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insight.
745 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is David Schwartz. Have you heard about the town's plan to rezone 200 acres of land around Eastgate and Rams Plaza? It's called the Ephesus Fordham Plan. Perhaps you've heard or read about how wonderful this plan is. Or maybe you've seen the pretty pictures of what this area of town will supposedly look like if we give the real estate developers free rein to build whatever they want. Well, here's what you really need to know. The Ephesus Fordham Plan is a good old-fashioned bait and switch. It was promoted as a way to help reduce flooding in the Booker Creek watershed, but it will not in fact reduce flooding and may actually make it worse. It was promoted as a way to alleviate traffic congestion in the area, but it will likely worsen congestion by adding 1,000 new car-owning households to the area without installing adequate mass transit. It was promoted as a way to broaden the tax base by increasing the amount of commercial property in town, but it will instead add mostly new housing, which will place further strains on the town's and school district's finances. It was promoted as a way to generate new tax revenue for the town, but it will actually be a money-losing venture for at least the next 20 years, unless the county is willing to bail us out. And if that's not bad enough, the plan will displace several hundred low-income households and force out many locally owned small businesses. And it will take away our right to participate in the review of future development proposals in the area. If you think, as I do, that Chapel Hill deserves a better redevelopment plan than this, then come to the town council meeting this Thursday night and tell our elected officials they need to do a better job of balancing private profit with public benefit. This is David Schwartz.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This new tax code, all these separate forms, I'm really going to need help with my taxes this year.
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
I'm ready to start my new business, but where do I start with all this paperwork?
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
How can I be sure if my family's taken care of after I'm gone?
Call Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
Hi, this is David Huntoon of Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown. If you've got money challenges, our team of CPAs and advisors is ready to help you answer all of life's toughest financial questions.
Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
Our people make the difference.
Chapel Hill is a bike rider's town, and I love riding my bike. It's such a perfect feeling to be out there, man and machine working together, all the parts combining to accomplish something you never knew you could achieve. And that is the same idea I apply to my job. I'm Blake Smith, and I'm with CEI, the source in the triangle for your office equipment solutions. We can set you up with the best equipment and help you organize so all your moving parts can work together and achieve amazing things. Visit me online at copycei.com. You'll be glad you did, and so will your office.
The WCHL Village Pride Award, sponsored by Performance Auto Mall, honors local hometown heroes from all walks of life. So with May approaching, we decided it was time to honor all the amazing mothers in our community who deserve to be called hometown heroes. But we need you to nominate them so we can feature a deserving mom every weekday in May. So tell us, what makes your mother, or any mother, a hometown hero? Every mom honored with the Village Pride Award in the month of May receives a free massage from Massage Envy Spa at Eastgate or South Point. And just for nominating someone, you could win a VIP D-Pack experience that includes tickets to see Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, a VIP parking pass, and dinner. So what are you waiting for? Spoil your mom, or any deserving mom, and spoil yourself too. Visit chapelboro.com to make your submission before April 20th, or call us to make a submission over the phone at 933-4165. That's 933-4165. Help us celebrate moms with WCHL's VPA May Month of Moms. And happy Mother's Day from WCHL and chapelboro.com.
All right, time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, something like that, something really simple, or an engagement ring, something you've been working up to for a long time, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Now with your morning traffic, here is Ram Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. I hope that this is not the best news that you get of the day, but good news nonetheless. Roadways moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, the Durham Freeway, as well as MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street, not reporting any accidents. No major delays. You might see some minor delays here and there due to the increasing traffic here during rush hour. If you see anything major that you feel needs reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
100% chance of Wayne Pond coming up. Just a moment here.
Woo-woo!
And it's not even hump day. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. Mostly cloudy, 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. And if you think we got clouds today, just wait until tomorrow. Our high temperature about 78 degrees, and already it's 63 this morning at WCHL. Tonight, cloudy with an 80% chance of rain and low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely pretty much all day, 90% chance of rain. High tomorrow in the low 70s. Also, a 90% chance of rain tomorrow night with a low in the low 30s. Dramatic change. Then on Wednesday, sunny skies with a high in the middle 50s, so definitely a lot cooler. 751 at WCHL, ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Wayne Pond has returned. You thought, just when you thought it was safe to listen to the radio in the morning, boom, 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 here he is. Dr.
Hi, you make me feel so loved and welcome.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Well, we played hooky last week, and Ron, I tell you, I missed it, and I didn't miss it, and I want to thank Rand for sitting in or standing in or talking in, I guess would be the right way to put it, huh?
Well, Rand did a good job. He even had one word out of the Urban Dictionary. What was it? Swalty, a combination of sweet and salty. And that's the one that stands out in my mind, but he had some other good words, too.
Well, that sounds like you're talking about his personality.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, pal. Well, listen, no more cream puffs, no more easy ones.
What you got?
No more throwaways. We're back to some hardball vocabulary.
All right.
Just to prove that, the word of the day, Ron, is apoplectic. Apoplectic.
Gosh,
this is it's worse than gosh, but we can't say that on the radio. Apoplectic is an adjective. Let me spell it here for you,
please.
A first letter of the alphabet. P is in Paul. P O P A P O P E M. M is in mother. P T I C. Apoplectic is the word of the day. A P O P E M P. T-I-C. This is all about leave-taking, saying goodbye, valedictory sorts of moments. So on the day of my return to the word of the day, I thought I'd take the opposite tack and throw a word at you that has nothing to do with the price of eggs in Philadelphia.
Wow.
How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Are you happy with that? All right, one more time. Apoplectic. A-P-O-P-E-M-P-T-I-C, an adjective relating to departing or leave-taking, valedictory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have to tell you real quick, you guys were talking about 3D movies. You remember Buona Devil?
Yeah, yeah.
House of Wax?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, those were the days of real, full frontal 3D, right?
Exactly right. Oh, boy. You have to be of a certain age to remember that.
You do indeed. All right, buddy. Good to be back with you. I'll talk to you in the morning. Take care.
Talk to you later, buddy. Wayne Pond with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Here we are, Monday, beginning of a new week, and Lauren Stafford is here.
I'm here. I came back.
Just absolutely went crazy over the weekend.
I did. Briar Chapel was great. Saturday, you know, great event.
Yeah.
Great weather. It was really nice being out there. And then, you know, spring cleaning the rest of the weekend.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, spring cleaning.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, it had been a while. It was due. It was overdue.
Really?
But, you know, before we go on too much further, we better get into this joke because it's a long one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I gave us a short one Friday, but this one's a long one from Lauren Sanders. So let me get into it. All right.
Go ahead and just lay it on me.
All right. A woman was at her hairdresser's getting her hair styled for a trip to Rome with her boyfriend.
Okay.
She mentioned the trip to the hairdresser, who responded, "Rome? Why would anyone want to go there? It's crowded and dirty and full of Italians."
Really?
"You're crazy to go
Full of Italians? How terrible is that?
"You're crazy to go to Rome. So, how are you getting there?" "Well," she replied, "we're taking Continental. We got a great rate." "Continental," exclaimed the hairdresser, "that's a terrible airline. Their planes are old, their flight attendants are ugly, and they're always late. So, where are you staying in Rome?" "We'll be at this exclusive little place over Rome's Tiber River called Teste." I'm not sure if my pronunciation is right, but "don't go any further," the hairdresser said. "I know that place. Everybody thinks it's going to be something special and exclusive, but really, it's a dump. The worst hotel in the city. The rooms are small, the service is surly, and they're overpriced." Goodness, she is just a ray of sunshine.
Really?
"So, what you doing when you get there?" "Well," the woman replied, "we're going to see the Vatican, and we hope to see the Pope." "That's rich," laughed the hairdresser. "You and a million other people trying to see him. He'll look the size of an ant. Boy, good luck on this lousy trip of yours. You're going to need it." A month later, the woman again came in for a hairdo, surprisingly. The hairdresser asked her about her trip to Rome. "It was wonderful," exclaimed the woman.
"Good.
Not only were we on time in one of Continental's brand new planes, but it was overbooked and they bumped us up to first class.
Mm-hmm.
The food and wine were wonderful, and I had a handsome 28-year-old steward who waited on me hand and foot, and the hotel was great. They just finished a $5 million remodeling job, and now to Jewel, the finest hotel in the city. They were also overbooked. They apologized and gave us their owner's suite at no extra charge."
"Wow."
"Well," muttered the hairdresser, "that's all well and good, but I know you didn't get to see the Pope." "Actually," she exclaimed, "we were quite lucky. As we toured the Vatican, a Swiss guard tapped me on the shoulder and explained that the Pope likes to meet some of the visitors in person. He asked if I'd be so kind as to step into his private room and wait. The Pope would personally greet me." Sure enough, 5 minutes later, the Pope walked through the door and shook my hand. I knelt down and he spoke a few words to me.
"Uh-huh."
"Oh, really?" the hairdresser said. "What'd he say?" "He said, 'Where'd you get that lousy hairdo?'"
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Like many of our WCHL hometown heroes, Mary Jo Barnett is quick to deflect attention to other folks. She says she didn't start Porch, but she's involved as a volunteer.
"Well, I'm a neighborhood coordinator for part of the Lake Forest neighborhood, and we just get information out to our neighborhood about when the collections for food are happening, and then go around to people's front porches on the day that's designated, pick up the food and take it to a central location where all the food comes from all over town and is then distributed."
Three women in Chapel Hill started Porch not too long ago.
"I think just it began as a little neighborhood thing out at Lake Hogan Farms, and they started collecting food for a school lunch kind of pantry to fill kids' school lunches, and then it just kind of grew from there. People get excited, and that's how I got involved. I saw a story and thought I could do that, and I looked at their website, saw we didn't have any representatives in our neighborhood, so I volunteered."
Mary Jo Barnett tells us that Ports feeds a lot of hungry people right here in our community.
"It started out just for kids, but it goes to all kinds of interfaith councils, food pantries, neighborhood Rogers Road has a pantry there, all around town. Now this last time, over 600 households donated."
Mary Jo Barnett is also involved with foreign exchange students.
"Well, I'm a coordinator for foreign exchange students coming to the U.S. for a high school year through a group called EF Foundation. I enjoy finding host families and then placing the kids in the host family and then spending a year in touch with the kids, kind of being their supervisor or safety net or any issues that come up between the family and the kids during their high school year. So that's another volunteer project that I'm involved
in. Mary Jo encourages you to get involved with Porch. How do folks find out more about about ports if they'd like to contribute or get involved?
There's a website, porchnc.org. It's the best place to look, and there they will be able to look through the directory of neighborhoods and find who the person in their neighborhood who is the coordinator, and then they can get hold of that person by email and ask to be included on the list of donating families. Donating households.
Mary Jo Barnett lives here in Chapel Hill, and she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Deadly attack on Kansas Jewish centers.
We're investigating it as a hate crime. We haven't ruled out any.